I'll just one of our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together this morning. Lord, I pray that this would not simply be another sermon we hear and possibly forget, but that your Holy Spirit would genuinely speak to our hearts. Search us, Lord. Reveal anything in us that has drifted from you. Remove pride, distraction, and spiritual comfortability from our hearts and draw us closer to you. And Father, for anyone here this morning who feels broken, distant, anxious, ashamed, or uncertain, remind them that your grace is sufficient and your arms are still open. Let this message not bring condemnation, but conviction that leads us back to deeper intimacy with you. May we leave this place not just informed, but transformed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Wow. Okay, so this morning I want to speak about something that I believe is quietly affecting many Christians in our generation, and that is lukewarmness. Wow, touchy subject sometimes, huh? but come on. But I'm not here to talk about lukewarmness in the sense of, it's not hatred towards God, it's not atheism, but a spiritual drift that is dangerous. And Christianity that knows that Jesus, that knows about Jesus without fully surrendering to him. And I think one of the clearest signs of this is by looking at what we openly celebrate. I mean, you can go on the sports channels and see people losing their minds over football goals. I mean, we're going to see it during the World Cup, right? You know, people shouting in stadiums, waving their hands, sing chants with complete strangers. And there's nothing wrong with this form of passion. But sometimes I wonder why that same boldness disappears when it comes to Jesus. Last week, an old school friend of mine actually messaged me and asked how she could possibly get closer to God. And I'm not even exaggerating when I genuinely say I jumped up celebrating as if West Ham had scored a 90th minute winner. I was so chuffed, man. There's something beautiful about seeing somebody's hunger for God, but there's something beautiful about just seeing God work. And that's something that I think we need to celebrate. It has me thinking how many of us, we proudly wear the name of athletes across our backs on our jerseys, yet many believers hesitate to publicly speak the name of Christ. Sometimes I look at concerts and sporting events and see people desperately trying to get to the front of the events to get as close to what they love the most. The front rows are filled, hands are raised, voices are loud.
They pay hundreds of pounds as well.
They do. And church is free, let me add that. Come on, amen. Yeah, when it comes to Jesus, many believers become hesitant, quiet, or even reserved. And it makes me ask the question, have we become more expressive about entertainment than eternity? Because if we struggle to boldly live for Christ inside the church, how will we represent him beyond the four walls? Right? Jesus never called us to blend comfortably into culture, into society. He called us to follow him wholeheartedly. And before I continue, I also want to say something that's very important. Is this sermon for me personally required a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. Because messages like this can easily sound condemning if they're spoken without love. And I don't want this message to be about attacking people in any way or pretending that any of us have everything figured out, because that's not the case. It's about recognizing how easy it is for all of us to drift spiritually if we are not staying close to Jesus. And the beautiful thing about the gospel is that God's response to our drift is not condemnation. It is grace. Amen. Conviction from God does not push us away from him. It lovingly calls us back. So that brings me on to my first point, what is lukewarmness? But before I continue, I just want to say that for anyone who is new to faith, I want to make something crystal clear. Christianity is not a club for perfect people. The church is more like a hospital for sinners, right? The church is full of broken people who require grace daily.
So what is lukewarmness? Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." Every one of us at some point has wandered from God. But even while we were astray, Christ still chose the cross. Jesus did not die for perfect people. He died for sinners. So Revelations 3:1 says, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." Now, this was written to the church in Sardis. On the outside, they looked spiritually alive, but inwardly, they were drifting. And honestly, I think that warning still speaks to the church today, because it is possible to look spiritually healthy publicly while drifting from God privately. Lukewarmness often looks spiritually alive externally, while intimacy with God quietly fades eternally. So what's my second point? My second point is, why is lukewarmness dangerous? Revelations 3:15-16 says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot, because you are lukewarm." Lukewarm faith is dangerous because it creates an appearance of surrender without the reality of surrender. And I think one of the greatest struggles in Western Christianity is comfort. Many people want the comfort of Jesus without the commitment of following him. And real faith doesn't just produce fruit. It produces a growing love for God, a conviction over sin, and a growing boldness to live publicly for Christ. And sometimes we fear awkwardness or rejection so much that we stay silent about the one who saved us. But if we are bold enough to publicly support temporary things, why are we ashamed to publicly represent eternal Christ? Church history reminds us that following Jesus was never comfortable. At the First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, many bishops had arrived carrying scars from Roman persecution. Some had missing eyes, some were missing limbs, some were even had marks from torture because they refused to deny Christ. Yet these were believers whose faith had cost them deeply, you know. So despite persecution, pain, and rejection, they still boldly proclaimed the gospel. And even today, there are believers around the world in places like Nigeria and in China where following Jesus can come with genuine persecution. For many Christians there, faith is not socially comfortable at all. It can cost relationships, freedom, safety, or even their lives. For them, following Jesus is not simply a cultural label. It's a matter of life and death. Not just the life and death of the physical, but life and death for the spiritual. Meanwhile, today, many believers fear losing social approval more than losing intimacy with God. And I say that this morning with love, not with condemnation, truly. So my third point is, what can we do to avoid lukewarmness? I'll give you an example. One of my favorite basketball players is a basketball player called Kyrie Irving. You might have heard of him, you might not have. But last year, while he was playing a game, he suffered a devastating injury. He actually tore his ACL, which is a devastating news for any athlete. It can put you out for a season. It could end your career like that. Absolute nightmare, athlete's nightmare. But as his teammates helped him up, the first thing that he said was, "Thank you, God." He said, "Thank you, God." And that really stayed with me, because suffering reveals what is truly inside of us. Anyone can praise God when life feels comfortable. Anyone. But what happens when prayers feel unanswered? When life becomes painful? When hardship comes unexpectedly. Paul, in the Bible understood this. In 2 Corinthians 12, after pleading with God to remove the thorn from his flesh, God responds, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Sometimes the very thing that we want removed is the thing that God uses to draw us closer to him. I'm going to say that one again. Sometimes the very thing that we want removed is the thing that God uses to draw us closer to him. Hallelujah. So how do we avoid becoming lukewarm? We stay close to Jesus. You know, it can be really as simple as just understanding the fundamentals. Read your Bible and pray, right? Read your Bible and pray. Read your Bible and pray. I love that saying. It really is just the basic fundamentals. But lukewarmness never happens overnight, let's be honest. It usually begins slowly when prayers become occasional, worship becomes a routine, conviction becomes a compromise. Time with God becomes optional instead of essential. And before we know it, we begin drifting spiritually without even realizing it. So how do we fight that drift? We remain connected through Christ, through prayer, through his word, through worship, through repentance, through genuine Christian community. Amen. 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 So it's not out of religious duty, but because relationships only stay healthy when there is a closeness, consistency, and communication. And our relationship with God is no different to that at all. Because lukewarmness grows in distance from God, but spiritual fire grows in intimacy with him. So in conclusion, I believe the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is, are we truly following Jesus, or are we simply playing Christian, right? Because Jesus did not die so we could live comfortably. He didn't die so we can comfortably associate with Christianity while remaining spiritually asleep. He died so we could become fully alive. And I believe God is raising up believers in this generation who are done hiding their faith, truly. Believers who genuinely love people. Believers who live boldly for Christ. Believers who carry the gospel beyond the four walls of the church. People who are fully surrendered to Jesus. And this morning, if you feel as if your faith has grown cold, as if you have drifted, as if you become spiritually comfortable, his grace is still sufficient. His grace is still sufficient. Come back to him fully. Not partially, but fully. Come back to him fully. Because a lukewarm world does not need more cultural Christians. It needs disciples who are truly on fire for God. Amen. So with that said, I just want to close this sermon with another prayer. If we can just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that even when we drift, your grace still calls us back to you. Lord, soften our hearts where we have become hard. Awaken us where we have become spiritually comfortable. Give us boldness where fear has kept us silent. Teach us not to simply associate with Christianity, but to genuinely follow you with all of our hearts. And Father, help us carry our faith into our homes, into our workplaces, our friendships, our communities. Let people see your love through the way we live. And for anybody here who is feeling distant from you, Lord, remind them that they are not too far gone for your mercy. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience with us. May we leave here more surrendered to you than when we arrived. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.